Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, now I want to say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to all of you. You know, 2 weeks ago, I was in Philippines. The moment I landed, it's Christmas everywhere. Okay, the moment landed means airport. Okay, airport with all the Christmas deco. This is November, all right? But all this deco already done in September, which means the moment the Bur month begins, all right? So the moment we came out from the gate, it's a Christmas carol already. There's a carol already singing in the airport. Okay, so it's just wonderful. Everywhere is Christmas, all right? Now, today we're going to start a new series, all right, called The Promise Fulfilled. Say with me, promise. Look at your neighbor left and right. Promise. You come tonight, huh? Okay, all right now. So we're going to explore, okay, the Gospel of Luke, especially chapter 1 and 2, on the Nativity hymns, all right? So we're going to unpack that and also the best time for us to look at the story of Christmas. Well, sometimes we don't talk about that and come to December, right? So it's also the best time to read through some of the passages talking about, okay, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to unpack that Nativity hymns, okay, we're going to do a series in that sense. But I have a question to ask all of you, that is, what will make you celebrate wildly? Is that a Christian word? Huh? Okay. Okay, which means, what will be your spontaneous response? Okay, which give you a scenario like, when you are waiting for a final result, right? You're waiting, you're eagerly, you are anticipating, okay, for a result, whether you're going to win or not going to win, whether your team is going to win or not, and just left one more point. And then all of you were like, oh, oh, oh. Then your team won, yeah! You know, you jump and all those. Or you suddenly one day receive a call, and is this your name? You have just won $1 million cash. What you do? You got what I mean, right? So what will make you celebrate wildly and spontaneously, okay, doing so? Now, sometimes I look at my girl, Deborah, when they meet her friends, okay, staying 1,000 miles away or even nearby, you know, from Tama Pakaka and Lip Sing only, right? So they are just separated like one day, you know, like one day from the school, and then they met them somewhere in the mall. When they met, I don't know whether it's a girl thing or not, okay? So when they meet, all right, yay! So they hold hands, yay! We met in Queen's Bay. So I don't know if they are separated for 20 years and they come together, and how will that be, all right? Now, I don't know about young families, when you got your first baby, Burns, first baby, sweat, auto baby, when the nurse came out, Mr. Willoso, you got a baby boy! Wow! I don't know. Okay, so what will be your spontaneous, okay, response? Like you watch any sports, Lin Tan and Lee Chong Wei. Okay, when they win, what they do? They take off their shirt. I don't know, right? That's the way, right? Then you watch football. What about a famous football song, you know, World Cup and all those? Those songs that ring in my mind is Waka Waka Ye, this is for Africa. Okay. Right now, I do not know, all right, if there's something that you want to celebrate, what sparks you? Would that be a song? Okay, why I'm saying this, as we go through this series, The Promise Fulfilled, we are looking at some nativity hymns, that means songs. There are many poetry, poems, okay, songs are written in the Bible, all right? So how the people respond individually and all those, when God appeared to them or angels appeared to them, in fact, Book of Luke recorded five hymns, five songs, five nativity hymns, all right? And the time that we have, we're going to cover three only, all right? Which we're going to cover the Latin word, okay, for it is Magnificat. Okay, today we're going to talk about that. Next week, we're going to do Benedictus. AJ is going to do that. Then part three, Gloria, I'm going to come back, okay, to do that, all right? So in each of that, where God appear, okay, to each individual, and then they burst in singing, all right? Because of the promise that they knew or they, all throughout their life they have been studying, okay, the Word of God, okay, and see the fulfilling, okay, of what, okay, taking place. So we have named the title, The Promise Fulfilled, okay, now, which means we're going to explore the passage, okay, from the book of Luke, okay, through some of the songs, poems, and all that, and to see the fulfillment of God's promises that was prophesied, okay, in the Old Testament, okay, they see it, okay, in the New Testament. Now, sometimes you wonder why songs and poetry, all right, songs. You know, song has a kind of memory, okay, in each and every one of us, all right, true? So each time when you play a children's song, Twinkle, twinkle, little star. Or another song, what? One little two. You know, it draws you back to the moment you are in the kindergarten or in nursery. Yes? And suddenly you behave like one. Okay? Because it has this memory, okay, in those songs. People sing songs of victory, pain, and even record of different situations, okay, in their life. And sometimes when you are in the teenage years, you have certain songs. You know, in your secondary days, you have certain songs and all those, right? Now, growing up, when it comes to campfire, we used to sing what song? What song you used to sing during campfire? You have campfire before? Now cannot, huh? I remember like those days we have campfire, I know, among our CF and all those. There's this song called It Only Takes a Spark to get the fire glowing. Do you hear, anybody know this song? Okay, one day I sing for you. Today is not a singing session. Okay, now, so with that, right, it creates a memory. The younger one may think about, the movie is too old already, The Sound of Music. You still watch? Though a female deer, away a drop of golden sun. You know that one, right? Okay, now, so on. And many songs, okay, probably you know. Today, I don't know. Today, what song? Baby Shark, I don't know. Okay, so here, we're going to look at these Psalms right now. And we read the Bible and probably never ring in our heart, okay, what does Mary sang, okay, or Zechariah or Elizabeth, okay? We're going to look at that, okay, in this series. Now, talking about song is very true in the Bible. Now listen to this. Almost 27%, okay, of the whole Bible is poetic. 27%. That means somebody calculated this. It's about 8,600 verses. And majority of them are found in the book of Psalms. Okay? Now, by saying so, today as we start this series, we're going to unfold some of those and to look at God's plan of salvation, okay, for mankind. All right? Now, the next one, look at some of these early theologians, okay, have said this. He said, Mary's song. Okay, we're going to look at Magnificat, okay, is the Latin word for the first word that Mary sang, all right? So it's called the Mary's song. If you don't know this word, Magnificat, it's okay. It's a song that's sung by Mary. Okay, the Magnificat is one of the most important hymns in the history of the church. That was theologian R.C. Sproul. And another Bible commenter, William Barclay, okay, he said, it has been said that religion is the opiate of the people, but it has also been said that the Magnificat is the most revolutionary document in the world. Wow, what causes them, okay, to say that? Now, I'll give you still some of the background as we go to this passage of the Bible in Luke. There are more than 300 prophecies given for the birth of Jesus Christ or anything to relate with Jesus. And Jesus fulfilled every of them. All right? And some of these prophecies are already given more than 800 years ago or even at the very beginning, okay, where the book of Genesis as well. All right? Look at one of that we cover for today. That is Isaiah 7, verse 14, that says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. What's the meaning of Emmanuel? God with us, all right? So this scripture, Isaiah 7:14, reappear again in the New Testament, okay, because of the fulfillment, okay, of that prophecy. Now, The scripture that we're going to look at this morning is taken from Luke 1, 46 to 55. I'm going to use NIV and also ESV, okay, to just bring some of the words that I want to use. All right, now, verse 46 says, "And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord." ESV later, I'm going to use the word magnify because that's the word. Okay, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Okay, read together with me, 1, 2, 3. "For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. For now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestor." All right, let's pray. Father God, we commit our morning service before you. Even as we look into a new series, as we talk about Christmas, as we talk about the nativity hymns, we talk about the birth of Jesus Christ. Father, as we explore the book of Luke, Father, help us, O God, to understand your word, okay, the plan of salvation of God. Father, I ask, O God, Lord, Holy Spirit, come, teach us, guide us, because only you can. We give thanks, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Everyone say, amen. All right, so the magnificat, okay, now, as we celebrate God's greatness, so in Luke 1, 46, 47, carry this word. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices," okay, "in God my," okay, "Savior." All right, now, the magnificat or magnificat, which one is correct? Magnificat, all right, now, it's one of the most beautiful song of the Christian faith, all right, now. William Barclay said this again. He said, "There's a loveliness in the magnificat, but in that loveliness, there's dynamic," all right? That what Mary sang, all right, in all those verses, it has meaning, all right? And what is she trying to sing about? Okay, now the word magnifies, when we look at this word, magnifies, okay, magnifies, all right? If you were to look at the original word, okay, is that word, the Greek word called megalino. Okay, what does megalino means? The word itself called mega. Well, we want mega blockbuster. When it comes to movie, we want mega. Huge, okay, large. You want to do a huge thing, big. So when Mary said it, "My soul magnifies." So in other words, her heart, the soul, okay, to magnify God, it becomes big. You know, you look at God, wow, he magnifies, excellent, you know. So that means to make great, okay, to make great, to enlarge, to extol, to exalt, to celebrate, to esteem highly, okay, to praise and glorify. And then there's the word called rejoices. My spirit rejoices. So just how I give you the question is, when how do you celebrate wildly, you know, spontaneous response, right? I'm not, to give you all the example, the way people respond, okay, children is the best, because when they meet already, they're so happy, okay, about meeting one another, all right? So the word rejoices carries a meaning, an expression of supreme joy, which means jump and leap. You're so happy that you spontaneously, automatically, you just jump with joy, all right? Because they're so happy. Look at your neighbor, Larry. I don't know whether you want to jump or not. Okay, now. Okay, so Mary declares, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Now, what does that mean? This magnification is not about the microscope that you look at it and they become big. Okay, the explanation given is such that it's not that magnifying equipment that you're using, but it's a telescope that, like the sun is so huge, all right? But when you see it so far away, all right, the telescope brings it near. So the magnification here is such that the glory of God or what you have seen of God, it becomes near. Okay, not that God is already big, the sun is already big, you don't need to make it bigger anymore, right? So it becomes near, okay, to you, all right? How many of you said, when you look at the moon, but at certain days or certain week of the month, right, the moon is so near, so big, All right? So the movement, okay? Now, what we look at here is such, in our society today, we magnify many other concerns, true? Many times people don't magnify God. They magnify a lot of concern in their life, troubles, desire, plans, okay, and so on and so on, and forgotten how to magnify God. And Mary choose, okay, to magnify God. And he and she continued to say that, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. In other words, Mary recognizes that she needed a Savior as well. But what is this story all about? What causes, okay, Mary to sing those verses, all right? Which means we got to go to the scripture before verses 46 onwards or 45 onwards. Is this passage, okay, what happened to Mary, all right? I want you to just have a fresh a moment, okay, like read the scripture once again, all right? Now, verse 26 says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth. So I've been to Nazareth, all right? Plain, okay, houses, low rise, all right? Now, a small town. When I was there, right, I thought of early morning, I wake up and just run around Nazareth, all right? Okay, now, anyway, verse 27, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin name was Mary. Now, so in other words, a virgin betrothed to a man, that means Mary betrothed to Joseph. Now, in the Jewish custom, it's such, when a person is betrothed, what does that mean? That means it as legal as these two persons are married. Just that, okay, they do not consume their marriage, all right? So in the Jewish custom, as such, okay, they are given 1 year. So when the decision is made, okay, betrothal, okay, it's a legal thing. So the wife-to-be will go back to his home. The husband-to-be will go back to his home and make preparation. Make preparation for the day, okay, of the big day, all right? So in other words, they are separated just to make preparation. Young people, how you like that? In 1 year, you cannot meet one another. Wow. Now some of you are thinking, I see, thank God I'm not a Jew, okay? Now, so that was that, right? So you can you imagine the excitement of both parties, okay? Because this is their culture in such, okay? So both sides of family preparing for the whole year just for the wedding, all right? Today's term is like in these 2 years, engaged this photographer, photo shoot, okay, book hotel, decoration, how, who's my wedding planner, okay, how much would that be, what the flowers will I get for Cameron, or should I get from Genting, I don't know, so where should I get, or lifting flower, florist, or whatever, so you'll be sending, okay, messages, invitation, social media, save the date, 22 February 2022, correct, right? Somebody is getting married on that day, all right, I was told. Okay, anyway, so angel Gabriel appeared, okay, to Mary, and that changes her life. You know, whenever you read the Bible, when God appear, or angel appear, the person's life changed totally, right? How many of you want the angel to meet you? Your life will change. Totally. Okay, yeah. So let's get ready. Tell a friend, left and right, get ready. Whatever plans you now have for 2020, if you encounter God, get ready for the change, all right? So plan, please don't say, since you're going to change, you don't plan. So if you don't plan, you don't know what's the change, all right? So you must plan, all right? Now, so move on. So the angel Gabriel came. So, and he came to her and said, greetings, oh favored one, the Lord is with you. What do you think? When the angel appeared before you, will you be happy? No, friend, you'll be so shocked. You'll freak out, man. Because every encounter in the Bible, okay, the people will freak out. Okay, they have not seen an angel. So, but she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. So the angel appeared. Okay, it's probably not a nice thing, all right, because people were afraid, okay, to meet angels. Because these angels are not the angel in your mind, the cute one, the baby one, never wear anything, okay, with a wing flying. Not that one, okay? The Bible describes angels are huge. They have six wings. Huh? So this is some example written in the Bible one, all right? They are huge. So probably scary, we do not know, all right? But most of the things when people met the angels in the Bible, they were afraid. And that is how Angel Gabriel appeared. Angel Gabriel, his role is a messenger, okay? Messenger, post-Laju, okay, now. Greetings, oh faithful one, the Lord is with you, and just do not be afraid. Now, when you think about that, when what Gabriel is going to reveal to Mary, sometimes you wonder, wow, what favor is this? This is no joke, okay? I'm not going to do that and things like that. So the verses continue to say, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. I mean, what on earth you want to receive a message like this? And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and for of his kingdom there will be no end. So this was the message given to Mary, that she will conceive in her womb and bear a son, and shall be called, and you shall call his name, Jesus. Why was Mary afraid? All right, so as I say, it's not, a cute angel, but one that is huge and all those. And why was Mary chosen? Because she has found favor. Now, we got to understand in their culture, for Mary to be chosen, Mary is classified as one of the peasant, or lowly a servant. No one who have took notice, of her, all right? Now, and God has chosen Mary. I'm going to unpack that a bit more. And Mary said to this angel, how will this be since I'm a virgin? All right, now, do you know that in Mary's mind, this is not possible? First, I'm not married yet. I'm betrothed, but we are separated. How can this be? All right, now, if I'm found any culture, if I'm found, if I'm found pregnant, what will happen to her? Okay? Under the law, she will be stoned to death. So, in other words, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. She's like, by receiving that message, it's like a death sentence. You understand? All right, because of the culture that they live in. All right, now, so how will this be? Now, the angel said to answer to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. So, in other words, receiving this and by her trusting God and receive that, how is she going to tell? What's the big problem? Tell Joseph, her future husband, correct? That's one. The Bible never record about parents-in-law yet. Her parents and her parents-in-law. They were silent there. I do not know, man, if you face... Parents-in-law are very good, very good, okay? I'm going to become parent-in-law, okay? So, parent-in-law, very good. Okay, now. Now, you do not know what kind of situation will take place, all right? How is she going to tell Joseph? Joseph? I have good news and good bad news. How are you going to say that? So Joseph, tell me the good news. The good news is God is going to give us a savior. Wow, hallelujah. What's the bad news? What good bad news? I'm pregnant. What do you think Joseph went through the mind? What? You understand what I mean? All right. So this is the scenario that she's in. Okay, now. Let's go to Matthew 1 to look at Joseph's side. Now, not much written about Joseph, but this is a part that he wrote about Joseph. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered this thing, behold, an angel. Wow. What's the name of this angel? Gabriel, all right? Gabriel, very smart, right? Very intelligent, right? He appealed to Mary. Hello. Okay. Then he go to to Joseph. But he appeared to Joseph in a dream. So I'm just wondering, if he would appear to Joseph in a physical form, I think Joseph would fight with him. Who are you? Okay. So appear to him in a dream. So guys, I think you will receive, you will see angels in your dream rather than he appear to you. Okay, now. So behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Wow. Can you see the manifold wisdom of God? How God, okay, have Jesus born, okay, to each and every one of us. All right, now. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. So Gabriel is the messenger. He's delivering the message. Same message, okay, he's delivering. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet, verse 23. This, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name. Did we read that one just now? Yes, Isaiah. Yes, 7 verse 14, right? Okay, now, so that promise, okay, or prophecy was given. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not. What he mean by he knew her not? Okay, in the way the Bible wrote or written, he knew her not, okay, means they did not have sexual intercourse. They did not consume their marriage, all right? If you were to go back to the book of Genesis, when Adam knew who? Eve, okay? Hopefully you didn't say other people's name, okay? When Adam knew Eve, that means they got married, okay? They consumed their marriage, okay? That word means they have physical intercourse, all right? Sexual intercourse, that's what it means, all right? Now, that's the word. And he called his name Jesus, all right? Now, let's go back. Here, come back to verse 36. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. So Elizabeth was known barren. She couldn't conceive. Okay, this is her at the old age. All right, so which means 2% right now having a miraculous pregnancy. Okay, Elizabeth at the old age. Already happened before? Yes, Abraham and Sarah already happened, so it's a miracle. Now, you have Mary, a virgin. Now, for nothing will be impossible with God. Right now, we just done the series on unlimited. Okay, with God, it's unlimited. With man, all things are limited. Then he said, Mary said this, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. The word of wisdom, let it be according to your word. Burns. Okay, now, and the angel departed from her. So Gabriel done his work, he left. All right. So this phrase, let it be to me according to your word, is one of the famous statement, okay, verses, okay, that Mary has said that many memorize this, okay, of what Mary said. Powerful, all right. That is powerful, all right? Now, so Mary responded, okay, well. So likewise, for each and every one of us, how do we respond, okay, when it comes to the promises of God? When God has the word for you, all right? Last Saturday, we have a leader session. Pastor Jojo, practically, I think he prophesied over all the leaders, all right? Just wonderful to hear how each one received the word, because majority of you, the leaders that morning, right, I know majority of them have not received a word from Pastor Jojo before. Then hearing that, wow, okay, very good. Okay, now, so in this context, okay, what happened to Mary? There are several unexpected turning, okay, of Mary's life, right? Now, again, Mary, if you study about Mary, she was an nobody will suspect, Mary, all right, and having a lowly status and all those, and she has miraculously, okay, pregnant, okay, with Jesus. And at this moment, she bursts in the song, which is called Mary's Song or Magnificat. All right, everybody's okay? Long introduction. Okay, now, let's move on. So with that, okay, this part haven't finished yet. Okay, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town, hill, country, Judea. Okay, so she moved to Elizabeth's house, all right? And that is Zechariah's home, where I greeted Elizabeth. Next week, we will talk about Zechariah, Benedictus. AJ will come and preach that, right? And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Now, Elizabeth and Mary are related, okay? So, John, okay, I already give you an answer. Okay, who was Elizabeth carrying? John the Baptist. Not Apostle John who wrote the book of John like this. John the Baptist. Okay, so John the Baptist and Jesus are cousins. Okay, now. So in other words, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, who is inside the baby? I already give you the answer. John the Baptist, okay? Now, John the Baptist got leap. He got so happy. He rejoiced. He leaped. High five, bro. He knew because he knew Jesus is coming. All right, at that moment, the baby could respond. Okay, so all young couples, you're pregnant. Okay, the baby heals you. Okay, all right now, it was filled. Okay, with the Holy Spirit. Okay, now let's go back to okay now. This so with the loud voice, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? As soon as the sound of the greeting reached my ears, a baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promise on her. All right, so they are growing up. They were told all this prophecy because the whole Jewish nation, they are waiting for the Messiah. All right, so they heard of all this promise and promised the promise is going to fulfill through Mary. Okay, now let's move on. Now, we were in the Holy Land. We are in this town called Nazareth. Okay, now, so we were brought to this church. Okay, this church. Okay, this church is known as Church of Basilica. Okay, Basilica of Annunciation. Okay, because in the announcement. So, for them, it was believed. Okay, in Holy Land, it's like this. When they found the heritage site or the historical site, okay, they will build a church. Okay, so this is believed that the Annunciation or when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, this is a place. All right, so out of that, they built a church. So that's why it was called Basilica, okay, Annunciation. Okay, there's a Latin word or what written there. Okay, so we were there, and this is the front. And as we go to this side, by the side, it was this that we even never take notice until our tour guide, those say, everybody look up here. They say, oh, what is that? Then they ask us, who do you think? Then for a silent period, I start thinking, Mary. Because in this is a statue, okay, of a young girl, okay, dark in color. All right, so our tour guide was just saying that Mary was low self-esteem, lowly status, nobody cares, and all those unknown, nobody will expect her and to be that in that sense, all right? So they park, okay, the statue over here, all right? To be clearer, can you be clearer? I think that's the best I can get. Maybe you Google and see, all right? Okay, so the statue in that sense. So it become insignificant. Okay, instead of putting at the front, okay, of the church. So there is a message there, okay, of Mary with that. So knowing that, which means what caused Mary to sing Magnificat, known as Magnificat. So I have this question is, why Mary? Why Mary was so happy? Why Mary was so happy that she sang a hymn, all right? So this three description that I want to bring out from that passage. Okay, are you all with me? All right, is this too much today? Okay, so there are many reasons, okay, for that. Because when you receive a message like this, are you in trouble? Mary was. That means she was distressed. Okay, now, when you receive a message like this, do you have doubt? Sure not. Me? Sure not. I'm chosen. Sure not. Okay, right? So you have situation like this. Will you get distracted? Because you're going to plan your wedding. And all your wedding is going to change. All right, so in that manner. So why is Mary Mary? Okay, three description. Number one, God is mindful of his people. Okay, number one. Why do I say that? When Mary sang the song, he said, "For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. For now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." So for Mary, right, building all the background, who is she? Mary. Nobody take notice of her. She's considered teenage age. We don't know whether she passed P33 or not. Or even done SPM. No job yet. You understand what I mean? All right? So in that manner, when Mary sang that song, so she's reminded that God is mindful of his people. What do I mean by mindful? What does it mean, mindful? Yes? What I mean by mindful? I searched a Greek word. It's called epiplepo. Okay, what does that mean? It means to look on, okay, with favor. Okay, to look upon with focused attention. So when you say God is mindful, God looks at you. That means when God is mindful about you, when God was looking somewhere, then he mindful of you, he turned his head, you know, and look at you. Wow. You want God to look at you? All right, so here it's like Mary is saying, who looks at me? Who cares about me? I'm insignificant. You know, when talk about Nazareth, when they talk about Jesus of Nazareth, what good comes out of Nazareth? All right, nothing. All right, so it's like when people first met me, Tolin Tan, you know, those many years ago, 30 years ago, what good comes out of Tolin Tan? Okay? No, never heard of, all right, that kind of thing. So here means, when God is mindful, in other words, God will turn his eye upon you. Okay? That means he is not too busy for you. He's not busy somewhere and you are praying and he doesn't care for you. No. God is mindful of his people. God is mindful of you. Which means, mindful means he shows special attention to consider and to remember you. God is mindful of his people. All right? Do you know that every one of you is highly favored, okay, by God? All right? So Mary highlighted that his personal experience with God, and that is a picture of God's grace. Because for her, it's like, I don't deserve, but God is mindful, okay, of me. All right? In that sense, now look at some of the scripture that in the Bible where we talk about how great is our God. Psalms 48, verse 1 and 2. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, his holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, is the joy of all the earth. Mountain Zion, in the far north, the city of great king. The psalmist declare, okay, how great is our God? When you look in, how great is our God? When only come to my turn, you know, I'm so insignificant. When only might come to my turn? But God is mindful of you. How great is he? He still look at you, all right? He's still mindful of you. He still turn his head and look at you, all right? That's what, okay, it means. Now, when I look at the word mindful, I was just thinking, wow, that means, in God's mind, right, he's full of you. Mindful, mindful, right? So when you think about God, wow, Jessica, oh, Sunny, God in his mind is full of you. He thinks about you every day. That's what it means, all right? Now, Psalms 8:4 says, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? In Good News Translation, the paraphrase, it says, what are human beings? Who are you, you know? That you think of them, mere mortals, that you care for them. The Bible talks about how men are being created from the dust. Do you care about the dust? Take water, you're a dust. I'm a dust. And God chose to be mindful of you as a dust. Wow, magnificat. Oh, all right, man. Now, how are you created? Psalms 139, verse 14 says, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. God is mindful of you. Amen? God knows the numbers of your hair. You not even know. He knows your hair. He counted your hair every moment. When you are a baby, some is zero. Okay, you know, easy to count that one. Okay, number two. God is mighty by his works. So one was God is mindful. Second is mighty. Now he continued to say in verse 51, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. Sometimes I talk to people, counsel them, tell about people how they bullied. This morning, Michael was talking about people when you are new, young, and they bullied you. When you meet all those people who are egoistic, proud, and all those, for me, it's don't worry, man. It's okay, man. Because when you know the Bible, what it means to be proud and what is to be humble, all right? God has his way. You just have to surrender to God, all right? God is mindful about you. God is mighty by his work. Just look at this, all right? Now, question, is there anything too hard for God? No, not at all. How do you know? Look at this scripture. Genesis 18, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? This is a story about Abraham and Sarah. Okay, they are already 100 years old, 90 years old. How to have a baby, all right? You go to the gynecologist also to say, I didn't study in my medical line, no. Then you say, Bible God. Okay, now, at the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son, all right? Is anything too hard? When you look at those impossible things, and God has done miracle, is anything too hard for the Lord? Jeremiah 32, verse 17 says, Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. You know, when you read those verses, it says, Ah, Lord God, right? It's like, Lord God. When you think about all the troubles in the world, why you worry? Lord God, okay? It's you who have made heavens, okay? That's how you approach, okay, the word of God. So let me say that God is mighty to save. God is mighty in his work. And how should we respond? What do you think? If I go back to those words, it's to be humble. Because God is going to lift you up and you know how to be humble. Amen? Okay, let's move on. Now, look at verse 36-37. Behold, we have read this just now. Your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her and who was called barren. Nothing will be impossible with God. Jeremiah 3:17, we should let them look at it. It says here, the Lord your God is in your midst. Times when you do not know God is with you, it's a promise of God. It says that the Lord is with you, all right? A mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. You know why? Because we always get worried. We get, you know, don't know what to do. Remember, I talk about a heart. When our heart in trouble means we generate what? Worries, right? It's not that you generate. That means when you worried, your heart couldn't produce a hormone that gives you peace. So which means lack of those peace hormone. When lack of those peace hormone, your heart troubled and pump faster because wanting to generate that hormone to be peace. See, God's creation. We are God's creation. God is just marvelous, all right? So God has to quiet down. Calm down with his love. How many of you are at a situation where you're so troubled and don't know what to do? And then, especially guys, right? Your girlfriend left you, and then your mommy come. It's okay. That's not the only flower in the world. Okay, now, so you quiet down. Okay, he will exalt over you with loud singing. All right, praise the Lord. That's how we respond. Okay, to God, be humble. Next, third one. As we close, Kenna. Third one, the Magnificat. God is mindful of you, everyone. God thinks about you, cares about you every day, every moment. Number two, God is mighty by his work, in his work. So you think about all those impossibilities, God, nothing is too hard for him. Okay, number three, God is merciful in all his ways. Verse 50 says, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. So, Mary could see that God's mercy will extend. The steadfast love of God. You know, The steadfast love of God endures forever, everlasting to everlasting. Right? Okay. Continue. Verse 48 says, for he has been mindful of the humble state of the servant, right? So in other words, he looked at the humble, he's merciful. Verse 53, he has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. Verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. Verse 55, to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestor. God is merciful. How does he show mercy? To who? So from here, we roughly know, number one, okay, he showed mercy, okay, to the humble. I can see three groups of people. Number one, to the humble. How does he show mercy? To the humble. Can I see how many humble people here? Okay. Do you know, right? The moment, this question is very tricky. Yeah? The moment I say I humble means I'm proud. Do you know? The moment you receive an award, the most humble man, you receive an award. The moment your award has to be taken down. No more humble already, ma. Show off already. You show off, so no more humble. Okay, so in that sense. So it's not easy to receive the humility award. Okay, the moment you try to show you're humble, okay, you lost that award. So humility is when you realize who you are in Christ. Who can you trust? Okay, who can you lean on? All right. It's not about self. It's not about self-made, self-attained. No. But it's all about Jesus. When you realize that it's God's everything, I am nothing. That's why I come to you, that I receive. All right? Now, God also show mercy to the hungry. How many hungry here? Thank God it's not 14th anniversary. Otherwise, you're waiting for the roast pork outside. Okay, now. Who are the hungry? Who are the hungry? How you become hungry? Okay, no food, right? Now, how many of us growing up, our parents said to us, or now you have children, you tell your children, no junk food before dinner. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, no twisty, no lace, no what? No junk food, okay? Now got so many names. Okay, no Jack and Jill, no such before dinner. Why? Because the moment they eat all those junk, when it comes to dinner time, what happens? They are full. What does that tell us? Today, do you know that there are many who are not hungry for God anymore? There are many who are not hungry for the Word. They are not hungry for the Bible. Why? Because they have eaten so many junk in the world. You understand what I mean? Okay, all those worldly things in the world that they have consumed, that all those worldly things has appealed to them more than the spiritual food. Can you see that? Right? God's appeal, show mercy to the hungry. And the third one, okay, he show mercy to the helpless. How many of you need help? Okay. So today, as we welcome people, right? So welcome them. Now, many people are in this situation, and probably some of us are in this situation. We are helpless. We need God. We need God's mercy, okay, to be okay, in our place as well. Okay, God is merciful to those who are helpless. Now, how many of you know that you cannot help God? We are not God, so we cannot help God, right? But there was a saying, okay? A saying that says that God help those who help themselves. What do you think? You know, how many of you heard this? Ayo, like that. God only help those who help themselves. We're angry, okay, over people like doesn't behave. But when you think about that, right, there's something incorrect about that statement. If you can help yourself, why you need God? You're just full of themselves. Correct or not? God help those who are helpless because they cannot. They cannot help themselves. They have no way. They don't know where to turn to. And that's where we come in and show them the way that God help those who are helpless. Amen? You learned something today? The Magnificat? Does it make sense to you now? Now, when you start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, okay, the first passage, chapter 1, chapter 2, then you learn of all this. So, as we close, worship team can get ready. Why is Mary Mary? Why Mary was so happy? It was the first Christmas. It was Merry Christmas. All right? Like hearing the news, the annunciation, the announcement of angel Gabriel, okay, to her. What is Magnifica all about? Friends, God is mindful of each and every one of you. Okay? God is mighty in his work by his act. God is mighty to save. When you see someone is so terrible, cannot get saved, like this one. Okay, it's not for you to say, okay? So we got to do our part. Okay, and God, okay, is merciful, okay, to each and every one, okay, of you. Amen. All right. So as I going to pray, and how do we end? Now, how many of us realize that as we talk about the life of Mary, how many of us know, or when you listen to that, you can relate that you are like Mary as well? All of us are like Mary. Nobody take notice of you. Probably some bullied you. Probably you have what we call low self-esteem. So probably some of us are insignificant, just like Mary, the life of Mary. You know, sometimes when we read about Mary, wow, we thought that, wow, this spectacular, you know, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Yes, God showed favor upon her. But at that moment where before she received the annunciation, what was she like? Insignificant, lowly in state, nobody cares, insignificant, come from a poor family, poor village, nothing comes out good from Nazareth and all those. But let me say, God is mindful of you every day. You might be going through some tough times. Now it's end of the year, or probably some good things is happening. Or probably sometimes when you look at end of the year, there are things that you need to complete. You need to pay up, probably some financial difficulty. Some of us may have marriage struggles. But we can say, thank God, Christmas. Now we hear the good news once again. We hear about who Mary is. God is mindful of you. When you come before God, friends, you no need to take number to wait for your turn. No, God is mindful of you. His mind is full of you, thinking about you every day. And He is mighty to save. And He is merciful to you. Amen. Shall we all stand as I pray? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Wonderful God. Wonderful Jesus. Father, today I want to commit all of us into your hands. Okay, as we begin the series, Christmas called The Promise Fulfilled. And we see that the fulfillment of your prophecy and promise, okay, in the life of Mary. All the more, Lord God, even as we relate to who Mary is. Father, as we come before you, you know, each and everyone here, whatever situation you are in, we can be like Mary. Some of us here said, Pastor, I can associate, I can relate. Lord, I'm like Mary, okay, insignificant. I do not know what to do. And now I understand God cares for me. God is mindful of me. God can show mercy for me, and He is mighty in His acts. Right? Pastor, just pray for me. I'm going to ask you, just lift up your hand. I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you lift your hand, just recognize where you are and you're going through, and you recognize, okay, what God is speaking to you. Okay, count three. Can I see your hand? Yes, I see your hands. Yes, anybody else? Thank you. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I want to commit the brother and sister who have raised their hand. I pray, Lord God, Lord, even where the moment, okay, they are in, certain struggle that they have, Father, areas, oh God, that they felt so insignificant. Area, oh God, Lord, they probably thought no one, okay, recognizes them. Father, I pray, oh God, your word speaks volume. In the Magnificat, the word says that we today that we learn that you are mindful of each and everyone. You are mighty in your works, and you are merciful to each and everyone. commit, Lord, each every one of us into your hands. Father, that today, okay, as we begin this series, as we celebrate Christmas, Father, we can celebrate with such joy, with such merry in our hearts, okay, and to bring the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to our friends and family. I commit, Lord, tonight into your hands, our Christmas production, our Christmas at Heart, that we will draw, okay, our friends and family to our Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks once again. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone say,
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.